Is there such a thing as a week-long full moon? Oh my, TGIF in capital letters. Oh, and happy Wordle number 1000 day, I guess. You're listening to Warm Beer, the Cheap Seats Podcast, WBCS with Big Mike and Casey. Take it away, Big Mike.
What's happening, everybody? It's Friday night. You know what that means. It's Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats. What's that tingling you're feeling? That's down in your loins, waiting for us to come on the show. Got a great show. Big Ed makes his triumphant return. We got a show full of possible special guests. So stay tuned. We got a rock and roll retrospective making its triumphant return. So without further ado, Casey, take it away.
Yes. Spring's in the air. The Yankees are already dreaming of maybe being second place. Man, they got guys going down left and right. I'm surprised no one signed Trevor Bauer yet, honestly.
No relation?
No relation. Nope. My name's not Trevor. But he's unsigned. Look, whatever. I know there was a little scandal around him. Everything was thrown out. There was a settlement that equaled $0 for the for a party. So it is what it is. And the super baseball agent, Scott Boras, just can't seem to have the magic anymore and can't get two-time Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell a job.
What?
Yeah, well, he wants too much. And, you know, this agent's burned too many teams with basically bad contracts, you know. In the end, you go like, well, we overpaid for that guy. Like, just about 10 out of 10 times. So, anyway, spring's in the air. TPC, Sawgrass going on. It's all about hole 17, baby. Mm-hmm. Gotta get it over that water. Gotta get it over that water. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite.
Have you ever gone to that?
I haven't. My brother got to play it a couple years ago, though.
Oh, really?
Yep. So I'm not sure how, but, you know, got on the course somehow and, you know, through people he knows and got to play it. So.
Did you hear my funny joke?
Say it again. I think we missed it.
It's your favorite hole.
Yeah, it is my favorite hole.
Mine are donut holes.
And in NFL, it's been just a bevy of activity.
What's going on in the NFL?
Well, Buccaneers resigned Baker Mayfield.
3 years.
AKA LFB. Let's fucking bake. Levante David resigned another year. Lost Carlton Davis III. That's all right. He didn't do the Carlton dance like I instructed him to. However,
think of that every time I hear his name.
Bringing back Jordan Whitehead. And, you know, resigned Mike Evans. The Bears made a trade, got Keenan Allen from the Chargers for basically a bag of peanuts.
I love peanuts.
Gardner Minshew's going to the Raiders. Jimmy G's going somewhere. Kenny Pickett is going to the Eagles. Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, going from the Broncos to the Steelers, to Steel City. Brand new quarterback, ready to go.
Wow.
Yes. Jimmy G, I think, signed with the Rams. The Jets have not done shit. Aaron Rodgers probably still eating at a buffet.
Has he been caught at buffets?
I'm just guessing he's going to show up fat.
You think so?
Kirk Cousins signed a $180 million contract for the Atlanta Falcons.
What?
Falcon alert. Falcon alert.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Wait, yeah, that's a Falcon.
How long of a contract?
I don't know. But the guy's made a ton of dough in his career.
That is insane.
Hey, some guys specialize in some things. You know, Brady was like, I like to win Super Bowls. And Kirk Cousins is like, I like to get paid do-re-mi, you know.
I would go with the do-re-mi part, personally.
I'm telling you, I think he's made nearly $500 million in contract money. I'm not even kidding. He's made crazy money.
And quick, right? Didn't he become like super popular all of a sudden?
Yeah. I mean, look, he was a great college quarterback and you know, he's kind of put in a weird position with football team, but you know, he did become the starter there, put up some good numbers, been in Minnesota, you know, got hurt last year, but doesn't have a lot of playoff credentials, but we'll see. I think Atlanta's a good fit for him. So I know there's like another big name out there I'm missing, but yeah, NFL, I mean, crazy, crazy news.
Did you say our quarterback?
Let's fucking bake.
Hey, I saw with his interview, he had a hat on with Tampa upside down.
Yeah, I saw that.
I did not understand what that meant.
Yeah, I was hoping you would know.
If someone knows on the message board what
please
that
message
means,
us.
Yes, oh, and we know who you are. Looking at you at the message boards, as I know not to really mess it up today.
That'd be a good idea.
Wait a minute, huh?
Well, I did something last week that logged us off the message board.
But there's really someone there that knows the answer?
Probably. Oh, Falcon alert.
That's a Falcon.
Falcon alert. Falcon alert. They just spent a lot of money. Well, and I'll tell you what. Panthers are still going to suck. Titans are going to really stink this year. Where's the subway when you need them? Anyways, Derrick Henry, their beast of a running back, signed with the Baltimore Ravens. That's definitely not what the Ravens needed. Well, actually, it is what they needed, but everyone else in that division did not need that to happen.
So this upside-down hat thing is a new thing with a lot of hats.
Nah, these kids today.
Well, what does it mean? Just to have like a logo upside down rather than...
Look, that one says Orlando upside down.
I won't be buying one of those.
No, but look how weird it looks. There's a TB and a, like the Rays and.
Yeah, I don't dig it. I don't dig
it. It's only cool if just one person is wearing it and you happen to see it on TV, right? Like, not everybody.
Hey, we got this overstock that we screwed up. What do we do?
What do we do now? Well, we're going to put it on a few players. And people are going to go, I love that. I love the upside down city hat.
Yeah, not digging it.
No.
Not digging it whatsoever.
But I've never been one to go into trends anyway. So
that's what I mean. If you found one somewhere and it's your thing, then that's cool. But when it's being mass produced, I don't think it's cool anymore.
So I got a question with these with sports agents.
Yes.
What do they get? What's their cut?
Somewhere between like 10-15%.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. And so Scott Boras signs a lot of these guys to like mega contracts. He's made and stupid money in his career. And you know, I don't know. I know there's baseball teams that basically they don't want to deal with him
because he's going to come in and rip their throats out.
And then some teams just know like he's just going to ask too much anyways. So we're just
so why bother?
Yeah. So they just he's only stuck to only over time. The pool of teams he goes to is smaller and smaller. Now he's down to like four teams and. You know, he's
the pickings are slim.
Yeah. It is what it is. Look, I would love to see Blake on a team. He should be playing on a team, but if it don't make sense, it don't make sense. I guess that's the only way you could control the market, you know? I mean, free market, right?
Correct.
Hey, it costs too much.
I'm
not buying. You know, you got to make it cheaper. Got to make it more affordable. You got to readjust to the market value. I don't know. And he could be asking for like 8 years or something ridiculous. You know,
that
he's
would be
at
ridiculous.
Well, look, he's at an age you're like, you know, he's proven to be reliable, but he's also getting to an age where you're not going to be getting.
Not going to be. There's more good behind than ahead.
Correct. And that tends to happen.
And as a team, you don't want to be tethered to that because you got this contract you got to pay out. Yep. I wish we had that problem here on Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats.
That we're just tied into a big contract that we're just getting paid.
Yep. So if anybody wants to tie us into a contract.
Yes. Joe Rogan, if you have extra dough that you want to lock us up on.
And Joe, you can reach us at Beer Seats on X.
Yes. Or you can email us.
The old-fashioned way.
Yes. You can.
At the show at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com.
Yes.
Now, old-fashioned way or getting an old-fashioned?
Oh, the old-fashioned.
Oh, wait. Yes.
Great South.
Before we get too far from it, I know we've already passed this, but I have to say it. The upside-down hat, it gets around team licenses.
Oh, but really?
I think that's what it is.
So you're going to have they're bootleg hats.
Uh-huh, because they're not that I've seen online in my brief little.
All right, so if you're Baker Mayfield doing a big press conference, you're wearing a bootleg hat. Does that make sense?
No.
Right? You want to wear the official team merchandise because that's going to sell.
Oh, and they've been around since like fall. So if we all just saw it for the first time, I don't think it's doing so well.
Hmm.
It's kind of interesting. Sorry, I just had to, you know, for those of you who want to know.
So I'm going to segue this.
Okay.
With the old fashioned.
Yes.
So have you ever... I had a conversation with Lady Jill today.
Okay.
Lady Jill brought up Hamburger Helper.
That weird little glove hand.
Yes. What's his name?
Mike.
What is? I said it was hand job.
Oh, wow.
Beefy.
Isn't it something Italian?
I think it's Beefy.
Beefy hand job?
Maestro.
Maestro.
Maestro's actually a pretty good guess, I would say. Yeah. For me, not knowing what his name is, I would say
Hammy.
Maestro's.
But it's Hamburger Helper.
Oh, handy.
Handy.
No, I said
getting a handy. Hand job. Handy.
No, I said hammy. Like a hammy.
Yeah, but Casey and I are going to take that and make it handy.
I know.
Wait, does he have a name?
He does.
White Glove.
It's very, very, you're not going to be excited by it.
It's like Sam.
I said Mike.
It's you're almost there. It's Lefty because he's a left glove.
Lefty?
Lefty. Or early on, he was called the helping hand.
Oh, that got too many dirty jokes.
Yep. I don't mind getting helping hands every once in a while.
As long as you
the stranger.
The helping hand giving the stranger.
Yes.
So he is better known as Lefty. I knew he had to have a name.
Never knew that. Lefty, huh?
Lefty.
We're all smarter now.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty good.
Because all these mascots and advertising trademarks, they all have names of some sort.
Yes. Sure.
Most of them go there. We don't know their names. Like Handy, I mean, Lefty.
Like everyone knows Mr. Met.
Who?
Mr. Met. He's the
Mr.
mascot.
Mr. Met was the mascot
of the Mets. Yeah.
And he flipped the bird.
Yeah. The one time he did. That we know of. That's been documented.
That was documented.
That's still one of my favorite Mr. Met moments.
So speaking of mascots, if there was like a mascot interaction Hall of Fame, that would be number one.
Oh, wait, just Mr. Met or the actual?
All mascots. Mascots in sports, marketing. Like if there's a mascot Hall of Fame, that would be the greatest mascot interaction ever. Mr. Met flipping a bird. Come on. How does it get better?
It's a good one. He's definitely on a very, very short list.
Mr. Met, I'm putting you at the top.
Anytime the San Diego chicken did that thing where he took his beak and put it left to the right and then sometimes put it over someone's head, classic.
Oh, that's classic.
Hey, guess what?
Or when the Philly Fanatic got a dummy and put it in a Dodgers uniform and filled it to make it look fat, and he just like drove around
Tommy Lasorda.
And he drove it around Tommy Lasorda, and Tommy Lasorda attacked him. Classic. Okay. If you could get Tommy Lasorda to attack you, that's a very worthy. Yes. Sweet Moses.
If we don't have Subway and if we have time, I mean, I got a list. Not going to tell you what it is.
A list of news stories or a list?
Watch, it's just like, I think this is a grocery list.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with half gallon of milk.
Lactose free.
Mm-hmm. Casey would know the list. That would be cheating.
Yeah. Turkey cold cut, half pound.
Yep. You got it.
Wow.
I probably don't even have to, like, if I need something, I'd just be like, can you stop at the grocery store? And then you'd come home with what we needed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure your grocery shopping is much like mine. It's pretty much the same thing week in, week out.
Yeah.
For the most, yep.
You. It makes it easy. It makes it easy.
Yeah. And I'm not that adventurous. I eat kind of the same stuff all the time. I get tired of it. So now I got to kind of like reinvent my weekly menu. But
we throw c'est la vie. Do you see a special guest somewhere being asked? Well, we're all being asked, but I'm seeing it.
Hold on.
But don't forget, I have a list if needed.
Looking into it.
And it's actually a really good list. I think it'll be fun. And I'm surprised nobody knew what the list was, but we're just going to run with it. What's that?
What? I'm working on something. That's why I need you to keep talking.
Oh, just keep talking.
I understood. No, I just heard a noise and it confused me.
That's okay.
Nope. Here we go.
So we're
is that the list? What confuses Melissa?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Okay, that would be classic. Classic stew.
Yes.
You sound so far away.
Well, he is far away. He's at the Montecito.
Yeah,
at the Montecito.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Big Ed.
Welcome back, Big Ed.
Hey, guys.
Now, I believe that we have join us right now is Chris Diaz. Is Chris Diaz here?
Hi. How you doing?
Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Petifo Diaz.
Diaz, the champ.
What's up?
What's up, guys? What's up? Tell me something.
First time joining WBCS, we have a boxing champion, Chris Diaz. Congratulations on your last fight.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the love.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you to be here. You had your fight a couple weeks ago. You've been out of the ring. It's been about 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years off. I came back. Tremendous knockout. We won knockout of the night. You know, we're going to get it rolling again, trying to reach that world title. So we are excited. We're happy. And we're thankful for God to this opportunity.
That's fantastic. And the belt you won was for the super lightweight, correct?
It's a super featherweight champ, WBA champion, continental champion, and that will rank me number 7, number 8 in the world. So probably end of the year, I'll be fighting the world title again.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic. So now, from what I understood, you were signed with Top Rank, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's, I was signed by Top Rank when I was like 15 and 0. They signed me got a couple fights in Madison Square Garden for a couple of time in Vegas. And then after the contract done, I just move forward, find better opportunities and better things for my career.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So you had an injury you were out with for a few years. Did you want to kind of expound on that, or you just moved on from that?
Yeah, so I got some blood clots in my system.
Yeah.
They find out I fell in the shower and I hold my hands in the handle. So but probably the whole body when the hands straight, it's stressed. The arteria got like 7 blood clots inside. So my arm, like, it get like almost purple. So I went to the doctor. They do an MRI, and they find out 7 blood clots. So I got a surgery. I was like 1 year and 5 months off. And then from there, you know, start rolling again, getting back in shape. Blue Bauer was, he know about it because I was in the job working and training at the same time. And, you know, it was tough getting back again. But thanks to God that I performed well in the fight and we did good.
What do you find is harder for, like, the discipline of the routine of a boxer? Is it like the routine of the gym, or is it the diet?
So obviously it's hard, but I take it the right way, because if you eat right, you will perform better. But when you work and you train at the same time, I wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning, go run or training conditioning, and then go to job the whole day, and then go back to training in the afternoon, and then go sleep. So it's hard. It's hard for, especially for people that work and train at the same time. It's harder. But you know what? It was just a process. I get it. I prepare myself really well, and I show it in the fight. I show it good. I was focused. And when I'm focused, it's just a matter of time. I got power in both hands. And you know how it is, man. We handle business, and we just, you know, we do what we do in boxing.
That's awesome. Now, do you get to have a couple cheat days where you're like, I get to have a donut for a week or two, and then you got to get back at it?
So right now I got 2 weeks off. I start training now on Monday because I'm going to fight again in June 15 in Puerto Rico. Or probably they will do June 20-something in Orlando. So that's the kind of update they give him. Yeah.
So you're looking at in a June time, so a 3-month turnaround, that's pretty quick. So
yeah.
Do you have someone booking the fight for you? How does that work?
So right now I'm a free agent, but I got some like relationship with promoters that they work together with me, because here in Orlando and also Puerto Rico, I can put 6,000, 7,000 people in one stadium. So that's money for them, right? So I just negotiate with them right here in Orlando. Every time I fight, I put more than 6,000 people in a stadium. So that's business for them, business for me. So it's like 50-50, you know? And they just gave me the opponents. I decide which one I want to fight. And then from there, we start making the deals and offering money and whatever, and we just ending doing great deals and making fights here in Orlando or Puerto Rico.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, have you been training? Do you have like a boxing trainer you've always worked with?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a whole team. I got my boxing trainer, that's Nelson Rodriguez. I got my assistant boxing mitts, that's Frank Ramos. I got my training conditioning coach, that's Bart Longchamp. I got my nutritionist, meals preps. I got my massage therapy, Maggie. So I got, my team is almost 7 people. I got my videographer, Peachy Rodriguez. So, you know, I got a couple of people that without them, I cannot perform this well. That's why nobody gets to the top alone. Everybody gets to the top with a team, and that's why you gotta have people with the right people, also a team, family members that help you out, be a good fighter.
Yeah, right on. I think awesome. We could all dig that.
In your corner, that's where they have to be, right?
Yep. Yeah, we always in training camp, we got a game plan, and we always focus on what we're going to do in the fight. And we make sure that day in the fight, we perform the game plan we practice in the gym.
Hey, Champ, who's your new team member?
So my new team member and my office partner, that's the chump. That's my guy, Lou Ballard.
Excellent.
Tell him the chump story.
So the chump story is, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, right? So sometimes one of the language code, I don't understand them. So if you tell me one of those code words that I don't even know what they mean, so I just like, okay, perfect. So he was telling me, oh, what's up, champ? Oh, I mean, champ. So I say, what's up, champ? Because that's like every time I get to work, I say, everybody, what's up, champ? Good morning, champ, or whatever. So he told me, oh, what's up, champ? What's up, champ? So one day, I was like, literally, like, what champ means, bro? Like,
yeah.
And then he told me what it means. So I was like, yo, you almost told me like 400 times champ, and I don't even know what the fuck it means. So don't worry, I got it. So it's, and then he told me, no, I probably told you more than 1,000 times, chump.
It's true.
I never knew what it really meant. I had to Google it.
Yeah, for Puerto Rico, it's kind of like a stupid person or like dumb.
Yeah.
So I was like, Malaflower.
let me ask you, if you don't mind, Chris, like growing up, you know, I imagine you grew up watching the sport.
Yeah.
Was there someone that you looked at and be like, I like their style, or that's someone I want to kind of model myself after?
So in Puerto Rico, I got three fighters that I really love to see and fight them. Yeah. You got Tito Tirina, and that's has a model person, like humble, great guy, always. He's from the fans. He's like a really humble guy. I got Wilfredo Gomez, that if you look to him, that's one of the biggest world champions in Puerto Rico. And also my favorite fighter on the time right now is Canelo Alvarez. And if you see my style, I almost copy Canelo because I like the way he feints, the way he throw the hooks, and the way he throw power punches.
Okay. Right on.
So, Champ, I got a question for you. This is an important question. Pitufo, how did you get the nickname, which in English, it's Smurf.
Yep, that's correct.
So how did you come across this? Because that's one of my favorite parts about boxing is all the fighters always have cool names. So tell us how you got yours.
I love this question because this nickname is really important for myself. When I decide to turn pro, so my father passed away when I was 8 years old. But everybody in the street or friends or family call him Pitufo. Because he was little like me, like 5'3", 5'4". I'm 5'6". I was taller than him. I'm taller than him. But and because he was little, but he was like to – he always defend himself. He liked to fight with anyone. He was like a real rough man. So I turned pro and I put Pitufo in glory to my father. So that's
I love
that's
it.
The whole
I love
thing.
It.
Yeah.
I love the story.
Yeah.
Because all of us love our dads. So that's, I love it. That's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, Gargamel, he's big as fuck, but the two for the leader and they never give up.
So they never give up. They keep after.
We all know Gargamel.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Well, Champ, I don't know if you want to just hang out, but thank you. You're very busy guy, and I appreciate you taking the time to, talk to us. I mean, we're looking for friends in warm beers and the cheap seats, you know.
Yeah, it's fine, man. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me in the channel. When Lou Bauer told me, I'd say, yeah, that's 100% I'm in. I like to support people that they are starting and doing the channel, and that's great. Anytime you guys want to share me the link, I can sharing my social media. I got more than 40,000 followers. So I like to support. It's all I mean. Thank you guys for inviting me, and God bless. And have a great night. And I will now enjoy a beer and with my family.
Sounds good.
Excellent. You got him, champ. We'll be in touch. Yeah.
Absolutely. Look forward.
I'll see you Monday, champ.
All right, guys. See you soon. Bye.
See you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was
Chris Pitufo
Diaz.
Yes. Well, now we're all fight fans on the show. We are boxing fans.
We've been boxing fans from day one.
Next to, NASCAR football, I would say boxing is one of the sports. My dad has been a boxing fan going back to the time he was a kid.
And I sat like a New Year's Day one day on the couch.
Watched fights with him.
Well, we were just talking about boxing, and he would leave and go into Philly, where all like the big fights were happening.
Sure.
A lot of up and coming guys. And this is like in the 60s and 70s. Like, yeah, saw this little Larry Holmes kid fight, when he was still up and coming, And it was fun, like talking to your dad about those stories, or you go to out to Patterson or wherever they went to go watch the matches and stuff. So I don't know. It was kind of neat to actually,
Well, now we have a friend of the show who's a boxer. We're going to have to see Pitufo fight. We're going to have to hopefully his next match is in Orlando and we can make a show outing.
Well, I'll tell you what was real interesting is the transformation, like the last 6 months when he started training. And he's like, after lose, I don't know, he said 15 or 18 pounds. And I'm looking at him, I'm like,
how?
What's going to be left?
18 pound shit. Yeah, exactly. he did. He'd run in the morning. He worked out in the morning. He'd come to the shop and he'd work. He put a good 8 hour day in, and then he'd go to the gym and work till 9-10 o'clock at night. And then I flew to Puerto Rico, and like he woke me up, said, "Come on, have breakfast." And we hung out the whole day, the day of the fight, all the way up to like 3 o'clock when he went, backstage or like to his dressing room. But the transformation, like from 12:30, like I could see like his mind was shifting.
You're getting in the zone.
Yeah.
Did you hear the song? Do 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 do.
No, the
Rocky song.
Yeah,
believe it or
I
not,
picked
they
it up.
Did not play it. Yeah, I felt like I was.
I'm going to say I believe it.
Well,
what?
It goes to show.
Good.
No, go ahead. I'll just kind of piggyback there, Big Ed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, aside from the experience, we went out together and had like a late night dinner at like midnight. We went to a Chinese restaurant in San Juan. Casey, this food was as good as Ling Ling's. It was unbelievable. Yeah. They're like, yeah, Puerto Rico's known for its Chinese food. I'm like, I never in a million years.
I would have never have guessed that.
It was, well, you walk in there, it was like 1979, Chinatown inside that restaurant. It had the smell.
Nice.
The food was spot on. I mean, the fried rice had chunks of meat. It wasn't like these little fucking tabs of peas with a little piece of ham and scrambled
egg. Little turds.
It was real deal. It was Ling Ling. It was like Chinatown. Just to go for the Chinese food is worth the trip.
Wow. Who would have ever thought
go
to San Juan to have Chinese food?
Yeah.
And they can't call it just food because it wouldn't work, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
You'd have to.
So, Big Ed, what does Pitufo do as his day job?
He's parts and he quotes jobs. We do a lot of retail work. Like you bring your plane in, you want to get an oil change, you got a 12-hour due or something like that.
So he's a parts guy.
He does parts and he also quotes jobs, which is
all right.
It's an art in itself to get, if the guy wants a 12-month inspection, and usually those can run north of $100,000. So you want to have a competitive quote. because there are a lot of shops in the area where we, you know, in Stewart.
I do different type of quotes. I just tell movie quotes at my job.
Me mostly. Too. That's mostly what I do all day.
You know what's
funny? I just yell out like kick his ass, sea bass, you know. You know, stuff like that. I do the.
Hey, this girl just came back from vacation and she goes, hey, what did I miss? I'm like, Billy likes soda. Miss Lippy drives a green car. And only one person in the room got it. Was the last.
Sweet Melissa had something real quick, though.
Oh, it's probably not funny anymore.
Well,
throw it out there. Let's find out because you not being funny is funny.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I always thought something's there might have been a plane making shop at the Montecito.
Oh, yeah. They make planes there.
Well, we have a G4 at the Montecito and it needs to be repaired.
Well, you know,
we have a little hangar space for it.
The Montecito, Sweet Melissa, is a high class joint.
Yeah.
So with high as it being with a high class joint, the high class broads are coming in on planes with high class guys, and the planes need maintenance while they're at the Montecito.
Yeah, these dames don't mess around.
He meant pimps.
Well, no, not necessarily pimps. The guys might just be their side piece. Mm-hmm.
They're gumada.
Yeah, they're gumada.
What's that?
That's your side piece.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. You don't watch Sopranos, did you?
No. I think I watched one or two.
She watched one. That's it.
I think
really?
Yeah, she only watched one episode. And she's like, it's okay. I'm like,
What do you mean it's okay? I was just
like,
that's, okay.
That might be like one of the greatest pilot episodes in pilot episode history.
Sure, no kidding.
I needed to watch another one.
I mean, the guy fainted when he saw ducks. And I'm like, this is the head of like New Jersey Mafia. I'm like, this show
and
is
faints,
awesome.
Yeah, he faints at ducks.
Most powerful guy in the Northeast, right?
Yeah.
She's a little duck turd and he faints.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Classic.
Mm-hmm. Classic stew.
So I think Sweet Melissa had some fun things for us.
I did.
Come on in, Melissa.
Come on.
Share
in.
The mic. We're not scary. We won't bite.
Yes.
This is Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats. We're live. It's Friday night. Join us on X at Beer Seats.
Now I'm like Big Ed, just not prepared.
That's our in-studio audience.
Yes.
They're cheering you, giving you encouragement.
Yes, sir.
And not that Big Ed's not prepared, but I
am
prepared. Big Ed's the most prepared on the show. What are you talking about?
Yes. You know what, though? I don't have a printer tonight, so I got to read off a teleprompter.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. But it's the Montecito. You have teleprompters. You're prepared.
You should have like one of those SNL guys, and he's got like a 2x4, like basically cardboard paper, and you're just reading off a, you know, cue card.
Or have a union. Or
it'd be great. You live with like a union teamster that's giving you cue cards to read.
Yeah.
His name's Donald.
Speaking of, makes me think of pit boards that they used to use in motorsports.
Yes.
And I got to say, Big Ed, I'm back on Facebook. I'm there for Marketplace. And I noticed your, whatever your little picture, your main picture. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in a while.
It has two wing cars and a Ford and a Mercury. I have, guess who I have on mine?
A Dodge Velari.
No Velari, but a Charger. Yeah. A Petty Charger.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So when I saw you had two wing cars and a Mercury, I was like, oh, that's cool. Big Ed and I are channeling the same theme.
Yes, motorsports.
So, Sweet Melissa, what do you have for us?
Okay, so which one do you want? I did just remember.
Why don't you surprise us? We love surprises on Warm Beer.
This is Sweet Melissa's news you can't lose.
Okay. And then afterwards, how about I'll do one news and one list? I'll steal the list segment. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Coming at you live is Sweet Melissa with probably not breaking news. Because wouldn't she rather have old news than fake news? The headline of this story, which, by the way, is not new at all. It's actually a couple of years ago, but I just happened to see it because I live under a rock.
You don't say.
I know. Thousands of moms are microdosing with mushrooms to ease the stress of parenting.
Shut up. Are you saying? I haven't seen that one.
Right?
Wow. So moms are getting high because kids are pains in the ass.
And there was an article today about it, but this particular one I chose is from NPR because I feel like they lack the crap. Ooh. It's
a new catchphrase. NPR, I think, is a good source.
Right.
Sure.
So I saw the other article. I don't honestly remember who wrote it, but it was from today, and then I found this. Is that crazy?
That I'm going to call that weak because our moms
But there are a lot of moms that microdose with bottles of wine every day.
That's so true.
I mean, is
there a difference? Probably not.
No, it's different thing, same thing.
That's true. It's kind of crazy.
Different thing, same result.
Yeah.
Is it though?
Yeah, the kid's still a pain in the ass.
It can't, yeah.
Well, no, can't I mean, which
it.
Is worse?
You can microdose as much as you want. Not going to change
but
the
Jimmy
fact.
Is still going to drive you bananas.
Yeah, little Jimmy. His dirty jokes.
Which
stop writing on the cabinets, damn it.
Yeah.
Which do you think makes you more inebriated? Wine or shrooms?
I don't know. I guess it depends on how much you're microdosing.
Oh, macrodosing.
Well, that would not be good.
I think the shrooms would be more fun.
Yeah.
You know?
If you didn't have kids?
So, like, they play a lot of Grateful Dead and Fish in the household.
Yeah. And the kids are like, not, oh, Mom.
Yeah, not another jam band.
No. We want a Muppets album. Yeah. Shut up. We're putting the Dead on. But we want to listen to the Muppets.
So I just found a quote in this article. So this article is mostly an interview. So, but one of the people said, and we've moved past, I think, wanting to guzzle 5 bottles of wine. We're craving something deeper and we're definitely craving community.
Wow. So are they like taking shrooms like together? Like the moms are like, hey, instead of getting together for tea, they're getting together.
I think so.
With some shrooms.
Yeah. I mean, you could also done that with the, I don't know, Manson family.
Wow. You could have.
Yep.
Yeah. But what shrooms, was you know, anyone that's tripped before knows that there's a sense of community when you're tripping together. It's like you're linked. So I think that's what.
Well, there you go. That's what the moms are going for, Big Ed.
Well, and the other article that I
nailed it.
It was called Mushroom Moms or Shroom Moms. It might have said like you know room moms.
Shrooms.
Yeah, but it comes out wrong, and it's like moms that like mushroom heads, and then
oh
it's
something
different. Then it goes in a different direction.
Moms like head, and it just goes so soft.
Yeah. Then you're in a totally different genre.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Melissa, what else you got for us?
Well, I'm thinking because... Oh, now they're talking about microdosing. I hadn't seen that part. I'm thinking for time's sake, right? We do the list that I'm snagging.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Hold on.
All right.
Wait.
So we got to
we're
do different.
Get you counting. What? Hold. We got to get you.
I'm just doing the attention deficit disorder version of Sweet Melissa.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sweet Melissa's list.
She stole from Subway. It's a list.
Thank you. I was wondering how you.
She'll be on the lam.
All right, Melissa, what's our list?
Now, nobody has a guess?
Absolutely not.
I'm going to go back with grocery list.
Hold on. I'm going to go with top 10 pizzas.
I love that I can like think that.
Top 10 reasons why you're confused.
Well, there's that. Wow. That's an easy one. What's our list, Melissa?
Top 10 mascots.
Oh! And we let now in with hand job. I mean, Lefty.
All right. So who's the list from and what's our parameters?
Well, it was all mascots, but now I just have to find where I was looking
because
it disappeared.
Oh, no.
Hold on. It was Yahoo, though.
Okay.
Yahoo!
Yahoo Sports. Just one moment while I figure out.
Well, it's got to be sports, I think, related.
You could do, like, cereal mascots, food mascots.
Oh, I'm sorry. All sport mascots.
Oh, sport mascots. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought it was, like, Mac Sabbath or something.
Yeah, it's not going to have like Led Zeppelin's little shark or, you know, whatever.
It's not going to have Handy.
No, not Handy.
No mushroom heads.
And job.
No. No broads. Could be some broads.
Yeah, it could be broads.
Could be.
All right.
Go ahead. I will.
Who gets to go first? You get to pick who goes first.
Well, do you have the list? Okay, you got the list.
Yeah.
And?
Oh, I lied. I switched lists and it's Forbes.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's Forbes.
But is it still sports mascots? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. By Forbes. Because, hey, listen.
You know, and it's finances. Because
Steve Forbes, in between a couple presidential runs, put up a pretty sweet sports mascot list. Steve Forbes, everybody. He ran for president.
Well, you know what? Twice. That's more interesting than what's going on in politics anyway.
Hell yeah.
All right.
That's why we stay political away from it here. Beer in the cheap
seats. Let's go.
Exactly.
All right. Who's up first?
Casey.
All right, Casey.
Well, San Diego chicken, I still think, is the be all end all.
That would have been my choice.
What sport is he from?
Not really. Like, he was more like of the town. He just hung around in Jack Murphy all the time for baseball and football mostly. And then he just went around and like he would just be in a TV show. Like, he would just show up in a Chips episode. You never knew with this guy. He
was and out of if control. You show up in a Chips episode, you're somebody. Because oh, yeah. Chips was a great show.
You know what about Chips?
Or Love Boat.
They could just talk to each other.
On the motorcycles.
Yeah, on their Harleys, on the interstate. Just, hey, Punch, you know, we going to go to Steak and Ale later? Yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
you know.
Hopefully we find some broads to give us handies.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then we'll go to a disco.
Casey, they were riding KZ900s, by the way.
Yeah, oh, Kawasaki's. Yeah.
Correct. All right, I just everyone just relax, look.
Yeah, which Eric is
that could be noisy.
That's the detail we're gonna, you know, latch in on.
Really? Yeah, I guess.
So ask me the question.
I guess.
So
right, I did ask.
So I could come up with.
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong.
I'm not all prepared. Right.
So, Melissa, San Diego chicken. Where is he on our list?
Duff.
Number two. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right.
Yay.
All right. So,
funny looking.
We go Big Ed next.
Yep.
I got to go with Mr. Met.
Oh, great choice. He's now a super legend.
And he is number three.
Wow.
Whoa, Mr. Met.
Wow. He's higher than Mr. Met.
Meet the Mets, greet the Mets.
Step right up and meet the Mets.
Yes.
Bring your family, bring your wife.
Whoa.
Guaranteed to have the time of your life.
That's right. That's we're the only podcast that features a live Slide Whistle Orchestra.
That should be our
courtesy if you're good.
And it's not one of them crappy plastic ones.
No, it's a good one. Yeah. Walt Disney would be proud.
I'm going to get a slap accord too. The one that goes.
So I guess it's my
turn.
The guy
that Cake likes to hit on every night.
Yeah.
I'm not good at this whole turn thing. Sorry.
All right. So it's my turn. I'm going to go Philly Fanatic.
That's a good one. It's probably number one.
I would think so.
It's number one.
Yeah.
Wow. Do we know this the is, top three? I think we're done.
I think this is pretty. We have in the history of us.
Wait! It's Melissa's turn. Melissa, you got one?
She's giving the list.
She's doing
also,
the list.
I don't have one. Even though I could play, like I don't know what the list says easily.
Convincingly,
right?
And the Oscar goes to
Sweet Melissa.
Yay!
All right, I got one. So it technically my turn.
Yes. All right. I'm glad you guys are doing the turn.
I'm going to say Stuff for the Orlando Magic.
No.
Oh, well, that's a good one. This list doesn't have it.
That's
shocking.
That's a robbery. Stuff is awesome. That guy broke his leg doing just a stunt.
Really?
Before. Yeah.
That's you're dedicated to your craft at that point.
Oh yeah, he's very underrated. He gave Barkley a box of donuts on live TV.
Really?
Yeah, because he kept talking smack about the Magic, and then the rest of the broadcasters are talking about like your shirt does look a little tight there, Chuck.
You know who should get an honorable mention?
Huh.
Stuff.
Yes. Well, you know what? We get to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
Oh, Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. If it was like an all skate with mascots, Chuck E. Cheese would have to be in the top 10.
Oh yeah.
In a mascot all skate.
All right.
So all right, Big Ed, going to you. What do you got for us, Big Ed?
Also honorable.
You know what? It's got to be one of the 10 college ones, like maybe. The dude, what's the Ohio State guy called?
Oh, see, I was thinking the Ohio State Buckeye guy.
Bruto or some Blutus?
Brutus. Isn't his name Brutus?
I think it is Brutus.
Not. I got to pull a Subway now. Not on the list.
Wow.
There we go. It's going, that's fucked up, Subway. Where'd you get that list from? Your ass?
Yeah.
That's why it stinks.
Okay. Well, good. As long as...
Wow.
As long as you're still yelling at Subway, we're doing this right.
All right, so I guess it's my turn.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with a local favorite. How about Thunderbug, dude?
Yes.
Thunderbug's pretty solid.
This list is starting to suck.
I guess that means
well,
not
a quit. We got the first
three. We did three,
that,
Big Ed.
That would be great if we only had the top three, and then that's it.
Look,
that just shows
and all, what's interesting, top three is all baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You know what's funny,
maybe that's a precursor to where we need to be looking or thinking. Anyway, goes back to you, Casey.
All right. I'm going to go on this one. I got to stick with NBA on this one. It's got to be Benny the Bull for the Bulls. Lot of stuff on him on video. He's probably the best dancer out there of all mascots. Best dancer.
So I was just thinking that I don't have as much stuff to fill the air to keep the angst as Subway does. But I'm kind of glad that you all know about these people because then you can.
Yeah, you got to talk it up a little.
Yeah,
that's what we do. We talk things up.
Oh, yeah. I got one.
So I'm going to say Benny the Bull is a no-go.
No, it's number 5.
Ah, wow. Whoa, Benny the Bull.
I was trying to trick you and it worked.
Old Benjamin.
Benjamin the Bull.
I'm telling you, I could watch videos of him on YouTube all day. And I don't even like the Bulls.
All right, goes back to Big Ed.
Oh, shit. You caught me. The Duke dude, the Blue Devil guy. That's got to be on there.
I think just the Blue Devil.
He unfortunately is not on the list.
Nah. Oh, that's bullshit. Fucking Subway.
I know. I'm sad. I know,
sing a fucking song.
Right? Sing a song. Maybe I should tell you, but I feel like there's not college things on here, which is weird.
So we're thinking mainly pro sports.
I'm trying to triple check.
Oh, man, because that I had a next guess that was going to really kind of.
Maybe we could make.
Was it a college?
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, I just had one just to really kind of give it the old sweet Melissa.
Oh.
I mean, like the
grimace. Oh, I think I think I know where you're going.
Oh, there could be a couple. I'm like, oh, or oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could still throw those in and then.
No.
No, we're here to win it.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. Not with it.
Yeah.
Look,
I win it, we don't quit it.
And you can do two.
Thanks for ruining it, but that's okay. There's other segments we'll do.
Oh.
Yeah, well, there's other segments that will improve the show.
Yeah,
we'll be okay.
Did I ruin it or did I help you all?
All right, so I guess it goes back to me.
Yes.
I'm going to go with...
The Hamburglar.
Oh, he'd be... Grimace would be a great one.
Grimace, yeah. Those are all good.
Grimace would be a solid, solid, solid one.
He's a nine.
I'm going to go with, speaking along the same lines, you know, we're going to go with it. The Mighty Ducks. It's Donald Duck is their mascot.
Is it Donald Duck?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Donald Duck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How the fuck's Donald Duck not on this, this list?
Yeah.
I'm so glad Papa John's just texted me, said, hey, we're open late tonight. And I'm thinking.
Thanks, Papa John's.
No, thanks.
We'll pass on your shitty pizza.
I don't need heartburn after 10.
So I'm going to take that as a not on the list. Melissa gives me the no.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's see. So are we just going to go one more round or?
Two more.
Two more.
Wow, two more rounds.
Oh, that's, my gosh.
You go at this stronger than Subway. I respect that.
Yeah.
Because I always want two more.
Do we really need show content that bad?
I don't know, but we got it.
Apparently.
Apparently we do.
Apparently.
Well, I know the Yankees mascot's not going to be on there. Let's see. Oh, you know what? DJ Kitty for the Rays.
Can I give you a DJ Kitty story?
I love DJ Kitty.
That's an honorable mention.
Yes. Go ahead.
That is Lady Jill's word for...
All right, say no more. Uh-oh. All right, let's move on. Big Ed, you're
No, it's not.
That's called a cliffhanger.
She'll refer to Lady Time. Not that she does it.
Oh.
But that's DJ Kitty.
Yeah.
Play DJ Kitty. She'll make that reference. Hey... This broad was playing DJ Kitty.
Yeah.
Oh, that took me like a long
time. Were you there with me? Were you? Did you go that?
I just right.
Casey picked right up on it.
No, I didn't.
Well, I was thinking of the Dane Cook joke where he's like spinning the clits of the 70s, 80s, 90s. But anyways, all right, Big Ed, you're up there.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Oh
yeah, the Cardinal.
Yeah, the Cardinal.
Yeah,
very, very inventive.
Very memorable.
Yeah, like the Mighty Ducks has the duck. Yeah,
right.
Donald.
I think we lost steam on this one.
That's why one round would have been great. Two rounds is rough.
We nailed the three. We were like,
hey, top three.
We nailed three, and now we just totally took a shit.
Big shit.
All right, here. How about this? Let's read back. What's number 10?
The Denver Broncos.
Oh, that's a shit.
The Bronco.
One.
Wait, the Denver. Wah, wah.
Well, can I have my last go? Can I have my last? I didn't get my last go.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm kind of getting glossed over here.
Oh, sorry. As I was.
I'm like the co-host. Damn.
Sorry. I'm sorry, bud.
Hey, am I getting pushed out?
No, of course.
All right.
Sweet Melissa always wants
Sweet
to
Melissa. What's the Dallas Cowboys jack off called?
Cowboy?
The Cowboy. The Dallas Cowboy Cowboy. I think he has a name, really, like Pecos Bill or something like that.
Oh.
No.
Doesn't that cowboy have
Ecuador one? Bill or some shit?
No, Ecuador Jeff. Our brand new clothing line, everybody. Come on. Ecuador Jeff.
You got to get in, ground zero.
Do you know I have a Panama
I already have a place. I'm flying out to Indonesia doing a little inspection. A
factory tour?
Yeah. I think we got someone lined up.
You mean our shit's not made in Ecuador?
No, you would think.
There's a new one called the Haiti Zombie.
Yeah.
So the Dallas Cowboy is not on there.
Oh, hold on. I had to check because his name is not Cowboy or Pace.
Well, the Dallas Cowboy jack off.
He's number 8.
All right.
He's a wrestler. His name is
Rowdy.
Who?
Rowdy.
Oh, Rowdy?
I had to really dig on my list here.
Huh. That's a dumb name.
All right. So who's number 9?
Who's number 9?
Similar name is Rally. And that's where, let's say Atlanta Braves.
Oh, yeah. Wait, for the Braves? His name's Rally? I thought he was blue. Okay, all right.
Yeah, couldn't be an Indian.
But it says...
Oh, Wahoo! How did we have Chief Wahoo?
Chief Wahoo. Is Chief Wahoo on the list? No, oh, wait, no more. Can't be on the list anymore.
Well, they retired their original Chief Nakahoma, it says.
Oh, a long time ago, yeah. A while ago.
Rally.
All right, so number 7.
Sourdough Sam.
Oh, that's 49ers.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is sort of fun, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like a cowboy.
Yeah.
And but he really loves sourdough bread.
He's the rootin'est, tootin'est, cow tootin'est cowboy.
And he'll make you some sourdough toast. Yum.
Yeah.
And some hobo chili.
Boof and Bill.
Hobo chili.
All right, number 6.
I don't think I ever knew this existed, but the LA Angels Rally Monkey.
What?
I don't know if they've shown that since 2002, but I do.
Why is it offensive now?
You're right. No,
he's a spanker.
No, they used to show this little monkey on the screen, and
right.
Then all of a sudden the team would rally and win. Yeah, and then that became like a thing. Then it was all about the rally monkey.
Rally monkey. Don't spank the monkey. Rally the monkey.
Yeah. It's not good for the monkey.
This website says it didn't catch fire till 2002.
It's got to get 10-minute breaks and shit like that.
All right. So we're pulling into the station. Number 4.
Yeah.
Number 4 is the Racing Sausages.
Oh, yeah.
Milwaukee.
Yes.
You know what's funny? You know, Chicago in the South Side, they tried something similar for the White Sox, and it was a crumpled newspaper, a broken beer bottle, a cigarette butt, and a used condom.
Wow, what a group.
Well, they had to find what would just be laying around in the South Side, you know, past 55th, so, you know.
I was going to ask if you were serious, but I think
he is serious.
Listen.
You know what? If I were to... be one of those mascots. I wouldn't.
It's hard to find condoms on the South Side.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I wouldn't want to be the used condom.
I use them.
Yeah. I would not
be interested
in that. Give me somebody. They're like, hey, today's your day to be the used condom. I'm out.
All right. Well, sweet Melissa. Good job.
Good job. Yeah. Good list.
Well, you all inspired.
So, with that said, what we haven't done in a long
it's been too long. So, let's get it going.
It's cue to music.
So, folks, strap on the old feed bag.
Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective. Take it away, Big Ed.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So, I told Casey I'd come back. You know, getting a grip on the Montecito again. I said, you know what? I've been listening to this a lot. And he's like, this is a good comeback album. The Who Are You? 1978. Who Are You is the 8th studio album by the English rock group The Who, released on August 21st, 1978, Polydor Records. Released in the UK and then MCA Records in the US. Although the album got mixed reviews, mostly not so good, it was a commercial success, peaking at number 2 on the U.S. charts and number 6 on the U.K. charts. Do you know what was number 1? Grease. From the movie. Hello, anybody there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we were
We're listening.
We thought that was what they call... rhetorical.
So Greece. Greece is the word.
Yes.
Frankie Valli.
Yes, the album marked a transitional period for the band, and actually rock music as a whole. The album's title track became the Who's most iconic songs, showcasing their signature sound with a blend of rock, pop, and introspective lyrics. The album showcased some of Townsend's most complicated arrangements with multiple layers of synthesizers and strings. Many of the songs also revisited themes from Townsend's long contemplated Lifehouse project, featuring lyrics about songwriting and music as a metaphor for life, as indicated by titles like Guitar and Pen, New Song, Music Must Change, and Sister Disco. The Who are just coming off a 3-year hiatus, and with Keith Moon and Pete Townsend, they were diving deeper into their drug and alcohol abuse. It took its toll on Keith Moon. Keith Moon got hard to work with, making a lot of mistakes, and the Who were pushing him to play simpler sounds, but he wasn't having it, and it shows in the music. Some of the drumming is brilliant. Moon died on September 7, 1978, just under a month after the album's release. On the cover, he is shown sitting in a chair labeled "Not to be Taken Away." Photographer Terry O'Neill had insisted Moon sit on the back of that chair facing the camera so as to hide his distended stomach as a result of his alcoholism. While being panned by the critics, this was a commercial success. 2 times platinum in the U.S. and Canada while going gold in the U.K. I told you why it wasn't number one, but after the buzz and the excitement of a tour, Moon died after its release. And only 4 songs from this album would ever be played live: Sister Disco, Music Must Change, Trick of the Light, and Who Are You? The Who are Roger Daltrey, lead vocals and percussion; Pete Townsend, guitars, backing vocals, piano, synthesizer; lead vocals on Sister Disco, No Romance, and Empty Glass. Actually, those songs were on, this is a bonus album, but I only did the original tracks. John Entwistle, bass guitar, backing vocals, synthesizer, brass on Had Enough and Music Must Change, and lead vocals on 905 and Trick of the Light. Keith Moon, drums, percussion, backing vocals on Guitar and Pen, tracks 9. There's 9 tracks on this album, 42 minutes, 13 seconds, perfect length for an album. The album starts out with a new song. It boasts a captivating blend of soaring guitar riffs, pulsating bass lines, and thunderous drumming, reminiscent of their iconic rock anthems. Daltrey's vocals are as commanding as ever, delivering emotive lyrics and raw power and conviction, showcasing the band's enduring prowess and musical evolution. Had Enough, the second track, the Who's John Entwistle's bass is kind of showcased on this, intertwining seamlessly with Roger Daltrey's vocals. Entwistle's intricate bass lines provide a sturdy foundation, complementing Daltrey's emotive delivery. Together, they create a rich sonic tapestry that underscores the song's themes of frustration and defiance. 905. Pete Townsend's vocals are real, narrating the story of a robot discovering its identity. The synthesizer adds a futuristic dimension, enhancing the song's atmosphere and echoing the theme of technological advancement. Together, they craft an evocative narrative exploring complexities of humanity and artificial intelligence. Sister Disco. Synthesized rhythms march a departure from disco's heyday, reflecting a shift away from the genre. Pete Townsend's vocals lament the fading popularity of disco, while the synthesized elements of the song's thematic exploration of societal change. And some good fills by Keith Moon. The Music Must Change. Exploration of change and maturation of the album. The song delves into the idea of evolving music styles and personal growth, reflected on the band's own journey as they navigate shifting trends and matured both musically and personally. I feel like the band really struggled with growing up or getting old. Trick of the Light, penned and sung by John Entwistle. The song explores themes of illusion, deception. Musically, it delivers the Entwistle signature bass groove, punctuated by sharp guitar riffs, dynamic drumming, showcasing the Who's mastery of rock dynamics and their ability to captivate listeners with a blend of melody and intensity. Guitar and Pen, this is one of my favorites. stands out as a fearless testament of the songwriting craft that unfolds its deeply personal narrative, offering a biographical glimpse into the band's journey. With each verse, the intensity builds, driven by Daltrey's vocals and soaring instrumentation, capturing the essence of the songwriter's artistry with gripping authenticity. Love Is Coming, a ballad with Daltrey's vocals at the forefront, tenderly expressing themes of hope and anticipation. The band's backing harmonies and instrumentation provide a lush backdrop, enhancing Daltrey's emotional delivery and creating a soft atmosphere that resonates deeply with the listeners. Who Are You? Roger Daltrey's vocals exude raw intensity, conveying a sense of urgency. His commanding delivery captures the essence of the song's existence. Meanwhile, Keith Moon's drumming is characterized by its aggressive and energetic nature, driving the song forward with his trademark frenetic style. Daltrey's powerful vocals and Moon's dynamic drumming, combined with Pete Townsend's searing guitar work and John Entwistle's solid bass lines, makes Who Are You the epitome of the album. The Who's ability to deliver a potent mix of emotion, energy, and musical prowess in a single track. I gotta say, I just love this album. It really brings back memories and a lot of emotions. I listened to this from side to side daily when I was the Duke boy. Keith Moon is as much of a mess as he was a beast on his album. When you listen to Who Are You, there's no doubt that he was one of the charmers of the day. Daltrey's voice is in his prime. John Entwistle's bass playing is second to none, and is as poignant and precise and to the point. Pete Townsend, he is the riff man. You'll never hear a guitar solo by Pete Townsend in any of his albums, but he sure does know how to play rhythm. I give this 4 Montecitos, a very misunderstood album. The Duke boy of Nesquog was a fan. You can hear him blaring this on the LIE with his Daisy Duke by his side, only to cut out and get into mischief. I am Big Ed. Listen and enjoy.
You still got it.
Wow. Hey, good review.
There are a couple things. You know, I grew up listening to this album quite a bit myself. I had an older brother play this a lot. Just a couple notes talking about it, you know, just as you're talking about the album that I'm making, thinking about it. And it's funny because this was a thing or a theme of this era was like about like the lamenting of getting older. And these guys were like just turned 30, you know, they were not old at all. But the way they looked at it was like 30 was death for all these
crazy like, thought.
This generation of rock and roll guys were just like,
they're pioneers.
Yeah. Now, when was this album released again? Was this 79?
78.
78. And then Keith Moon wasn't alive really much after this album was released, right?
No, they were actually excited about a tour because it came out and the critics just, you know, they panned it. Because I think the last thing they did before this was 75 was the Who by Numbers.
Right.
I think this is such a directional change for them. They never really looked back, and I don't think they've wrote anything. You know, Keith Moon died, so that was the heartbeat of that band.
It definitely affected the writing style, and it took a lot of the moxie out of the band. Like, you know, some people say with Woodstock, their performance at Woodstock was actually the birth of punk rock. Just how chaotic they were throughout it. And it's just like, not so much the music styling, but more the gravitas, the attitude.
The attitude. Which, so this was like the changing of the guard.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, they were definitely changing their sound. And they were, you know, punk rock was a thing in the late 70s and disco, and a lot of bands were kind of contending with where are we? You know, if you had bands or like even Led Zeppelin had to contend with it, and, you know, former Beatles, and, you know, if you were a rock musician, this was something that you had to deal with.
Well, listen to Some Girls came out about the same time.
Right. Right.
That had a lot of disco influences in it, where this did not. This the Who stood their ground. You know, they did right. try some things. I think Pete Townsend did an amazing job with the synthesizer. It wasn't blatantly in your face, but it had its moments and it worked. You know, like 905, I love that song. You know, that's
all synthesizer. And then on the album art, if I remember, when you're looking, it's them like on a soundstage, like they're about to do a tour. It's got all the stacks of the, you know,
I think they're backstage
speakers. Yeah, they're backstage, but it's like speakers and equipment and all that, and they're just kind of sitting around. And yeah, you said Keith Moon's kind of sitting, kind of hiding himself behind a chair, but isn't it the chair says on it, like, do not remove?
It says not to be taken away.
Yeah, not to be taken away. His. And, you know, that's just like one of those weird, always like rock and roll things to look at that album, not to be taken away. And he dies a little after the album. And then, you know, that album happens. And then probably a year later, Zeppelin does In Through the Outdoor and their drummer dies. You know, like it wasn't that long after.
No, Bonham was like 1980, 81.
Yeah. But it wasn't long after this.
It was just another shot in the gut, you know. I remember the first time I heard the Who Are You. Yeah. I was at the Cornelius's. I don't know if you remember. They lived behind us. They had a couple horses. And
yes.
The girls.
Charlie would take me there.
Right. Well, Kevin and Keith, they were in high school. And they used to play down in their basement. Keith played the drums. I go down there and I hit the cowbell with him, you know. And listen to Beach Boys and The Who.
For the record, folks, I lived in a different time. If your dog led you somewhere, you just followed it. I mean, I was watching Lassie. Yeah. I was like Lassie and Rin Tin Tin. I'm like, those dogs were upstanding citizens. They were fantastic. They were great. They would never let anything go wrong. And, you know, so I was just following Charlie around. Charlie's like, I know some horses. You want to see some horses? I'm like, absolutely, I want to see some horses. And
who won it?
Yeah. And Charlie would take me on a fantasy voyage.
And then his parents had to go looking for him.
Nah, they usually didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah.
It was 70s and 80s. You know,
different time.
See, oddly enough.
Roam the neighborhood.
Yeah, oddly enough, you thought they were microdosing. I don't know. Really weird. Weird stuff. Weird, wacky stuff.
That was a time when, like, notes would be tied to your dog. Like, leave your dog home.
You know? Yeah.
Your dog, the claims, your dog got our dog pregnant again. Reggie would get notes tied to his collar. Get your dog fixed.
That's a true Reggie. Story.
Yeah. And then Reggie gets fixed, and he never leaves the property again. He just lost his zest for life.
Yep.
He got fat.
Aww. Well, he whacked his nuts off.
Yep.
That was Charlie's buddy.
Oh, for sure. For show. Well, Big Ed. I got to say, it has been fantastic to have you back.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Good. Very good to have you back, Big Ed.
Now, you know, obviously your schedule, you're free to come and go as you please. But it was good to have a rock and roll retrospective. And
for sure.
You know, and folks, you could probably hear that rock and roll retrospective. Hold on. Let's stand by.
Here it is.
Nope, not that one.
That's not that one either.
Wait, is this what we used? No. What,
for Naughty Radio?
No, I don't know. No, I am. It just doesn't really kind of cooperate with me sometimes. Anyways, folks, don't forget to pay attention to old Naughty Radio. Download the app. Go to naughtyradio.com. You can find your favorite tunes. You can probably find a good vinyl version of the Who Are You right there. type in the promo code Big Ed, save money. It's there.
And you can microdose and listen to it.
Right? Oh, that is definitely an album that
to microdose too.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's where we're gonna
I do, whether it's next week or in a couple weeks, will be an album to microdose to.
Oh, sure. God.
Yeah. And I'm not talking Mr. Bungle, but maybe something a little more.
That would be a great title to an episode. An album to microdose to. It's kind of what our show's about. You get microdose to our show.
Nice.
This is an album you can microdose to.
For sure.
Trip Fank telling you it's time to wrap it up. Keep the shiny
music
side
to
up.
Grow your hair to.
Crispy side down.
Thank you again. Hey, Christy.
WB. Yeah, Pitufo.
Pitufo, baby. Catch you later on the flip side.
See you guys.
See ya.